Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Be empowered. Be strong. Take charge. Speak life. Live life abundantly. Get with it now. You are now entering the chat room. Health Chat with Coach Jean, that is, where we debate, debunk, educate, empower, impart, and raise awareness on all things related to health, healing, and holistic well-being, body, mind, and spirit. Let's go.
Hello. Hello. Hey, hey, hey. What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome to another week, another episode here in the chat room with your girl, Nurse Coach Jean Turner, all the way here from Hotlanta, Georgia, USA. And believe me when I tell you, it is hot. Hotlanta. It really is earning its name over this last week or two because it has been well over 100 degrees here with a heat index of about 110 plus. You hear me? I ain't been in this much heat. Oh, my God. It's been years. I mean, it gets hot here in Georgia. But, you know, I'm a city girl. Straight out of NYC, done lived in Germany and all these different places. So I don't take heat well, even though I've lived in hot places, but I don't take it well at all. And I try to stay indoors under some AC. And I suggest you do the same if it is hot where you are, because heat exhaustion and heat stroke is real. And so, look, let's be wise. Let's use wisdom. Let's stay where it's cool at. Make sure you're drinking plenty of water. If you are on a fluid restriction, stay within the recommended amount of water prescribed by your doctor. But stay cool because this heat is real and it ain't no joke. So, hey, once again, welcome back to the chat room, Health Chat with Coach Jean. Yes, another week. It is Thursday again, and we thank and praise God for another opportunity to come before you to share the gift of health, healing, and wholeness, body, mind, soul, and spirit. We thank and praise him for another day of life. Praise God that no matter what's going on around us, he is still large and in charge and in control. And so for this week's episode, episode number 91, we are 9 episodes away from episode 100, and I am excited. But for this week's episode here in the chat room, I have brought back the spirit of a warrior, warrior's walk. It's been a while since I did a warrior's walk. And so for this week's episode, my guest joining me this evening here in the chat room, she is also a warrior. So spirit of a warrior, warrior's walk, and it is back and live, and we're going to talk about some things tonight. And so let's go ahead. Let's pray and let's get it popping. You hear me? Most gracious Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for another day's journey, Father God. Thank you for the gift of life, health, and strength. Thank you, God, that no matter what it looks like, Father God, you are still in control. Father God, no matter what it looks like, Lord God, we are standing on your word, standing on the promises in your word, that by your stripes we are healed. Lord, 3 John 2 says, beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So, Father God, I decree and declare right now that we are healthy, we are physically fit, we are prosperous body, mind, soul, and spirit. And right now, Father God, I want to ask and pray that you have mercy on our souls. Lord God, I repent right now of my sin, and I ask and pray that you would forgive us all of our sin and cleanse us from all sin and all unrighteousness, creating each and every one of us a clean heart. Lord God, a clean heart, a pure heart, a heart after your own heart, and renew a right spirit within us. Father God, right now in the name of Jesus, we bind the spirit of sickness, illness, disease, and every form of dis-ease in the mighty name of Jesus. I command sickness, illness, and disease to loose its hold from off of God's people right now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And we declare health, healing, and wholeness down to the cellular level, down to the molecular level, the hormonal level, Lord God, and declare and decree that healing, your healing power is flowing through our veins, God, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. So, Lord God, I pray that something shared on this week's episode of Health Chat will bless and encourage and edify and build up those who are currently live streaming, those who are tuning in via phone, and those who will catch the replay on the various platforms that you have blessed us to be on. And it's in your precious Son, Jesus' name, I do ask and pray these things. Amen. Amen and amen. And so without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and introduce my guest and bring her on in from backstage in the green room. My guest this week joining us here in the chat room is none other than Michelle Anderson Benjamin. She is a mother of two, and she is straight out of NYC, okay, my native home. Holla at you, girl. At the age of 36, Michelle was diagnosed with stage 1 triple negative breast cancer, and unfortunately, 2 years later, diagnosed again with DCIS, and she'll explain that, estrogen and breast cancer. So being a two-time cancer survivor, she was inspired to turn her pain into her purpose, and she started the Fearless Warrior Project, LLC. As a certified master coach and advocate, her mission is to help individuals address and overcome their emotional and mental traumas. Her faith in God gives her purpose and an understanding that her assignment was designed just for her. Creating a legacy for her children is her biggest motivation. And Michelle calls herself Superwoman with a pink cape. All right now, so without further ado, I want to introduce to you and present to some others, none other than my guest for episode 91 here on Help Chat with Nurse Coach Jean, Miss Michelle Anderson Benjamin. Michelle, warrior girl, are you in the virtual building?
Yes, I am. Good evening, everyone. Good evening, kings and queens.
Hey, 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 how are you this evening?
I am blessed. It's an honor and a privilege to be here tonight to speak and share my story and also to be with you, Queen. I am excited.
I'm excited, too. You know what? I'm excited. I'm excited that you are joining me this week. I'm excited that you are joining me for this episode, Spirit of a Warrior, you know, my Warriors Walk segment, because you are indeed a warrior. You know, being someone who's gone through a cancer diagnosis and chemo back in 2018 and 2019, and here just recently dealing with a health issue that the doctors even said, two sets of doctors said to me, well, the chemotherapy, the treatment you was on 3 years ago was so toxic, that's what's causing the issue now. I'm like, Lord, have mercy. But what I found out, Michelle, is that God gives his biggest battles to his warriors, his warrior soldiers. He gives the greatest battles to us because he said, I don't put no more on you than what you can bear. And I'm like, sometimes, is this you, Michelle? You'd be like, sometimes, my God, Lord have mercy. I know you created me to be a warrior soldier, but dang, this is a thing. What are you doing here?
definitely. I can honestly say in my beginning of my journey, that was my main question. And even now, you know, with my re-diagnosis, I was just recently re-diagnosed with a second form of breast cancer, not even a month ago, and I'm having surgery next Wednesday. And I am questioning, like, I didn't even make it to the five-year mark. Like, at least give me time, you know. But I also understand that this is part of my assignment, and, you know, this is part of my journey. And it's happening. You know, although I didn't sign up for it, and I would never sign up for it, it is happening for a reason, so I need to pay attention.
That's good. Let's talk about that for a minute. Because, you know, the other morning we was in the weapon room, the prayer room, and we're all familiar with Job, okay? And, you know, I've been on the Job tip since 2018, 2019, when I was going through that health crisis. And how interesting that God and the enemy was having a discussion, and God said, well, have you tried my servant Job? And I learned back then that, you know, everything is not of the devil. There are some things that God will allow. He will not allow the enemy to kill us, but there are some things he does allow. And we have to walk through the process, whatever that process is. What are your thoughts about that?
Honestly, it's for me. I am starting to really now digest that mindset. And I say that because prior to me being diagnosed, I was a person of God. I went to Catholic school all my life. But I wasn't really walking and connected with God. I was allowing life to overrun my path. And I'm a strong believer that sometimes God sits you on your behind and make you pay attention. And being diagnosed with cancer at 36 was a real reality check for me. But in that moment, even with that diagnosis, I got empowered to be so much greater than myself. I didn't feel, although I was upset, although I was scared, although I was angry, I also found strength, and I found superpowers that I didn't know that I had. I found willpower to just push through and got this warrior mindset to be better than I've ever been and to take a chance on myself finally, in a sense, right? Because sometimes we get so consumed with other things and other people and in life in general that we forget about self. And this required me to now take time for myself and for me to actually really start to walk in my purpose. Because at the end of the day, we all have a date when we will be reconnected with the Lord. So what are we doing on this earth in that time? We all have an assignment, and I am truly, truly, truly a true believer that this is my assignment. Because just in me having cancer for 2 years, I have not only found the new Michelle, but I've empowered so many just by opening my mouth and telling my story and showing people that regardless of what your circumstances, this is you don't have to look like how you feel. You don't have to allow a diagnosis of any type to be your storyline. It is just part of your chapter of your book, but it's not your whole book. And by doing that, even by encouraging someone else, I'm healing myself. Because one of the things that we neglect is our own self-care and our own mental health and our own emotional state of mind, you know, because we're trying to be something for everyone and everyone else. So this experience in my life has really opened my eyes to the importance of really paying attention to my own mental health. And by doing that, by me paying attention to Michelle, I am now able to help others.
That's good. Girl, you done said a whole mouthful and then some. That is good. Because, you know, we get so tied up and busy being everything to everybody else. But a diagnosis like cancer, you know, or congestive heart failure, something like that, it will really make you reevaluate some things, you know. What I learned from that journey, and even now I continue to learn, is number one, God is my strength, right? And it is His strength that I'm pulling on, because I can't be resilient. You know, I can't be resilient. You know, resilient is one of them buzzwords we hear a lot lately. But our sufficiency is in Him. He is our strength. And so I have learned, and I am too continuing to learn, to take time out. You know, everybody else, they're going to be okay. You understand what I'm saying?
No.
But we've got to take care of our physical, our mental, our emotional, and most of all, our own spiritual well-being. Because if we don't, we are no good to nobody else. You know what I'm saying? I know you know. That's the one thing. And then the other thing is this. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And we don't have to look like what we are walking through. I always say walking through, because we are walking through to the other side. And for me, it's about growing through. Over the last couple of years, I've learned that. You know, don't look at it as if, oh, me, oh, my. Well, I mean, before I did look at, why did this happen to me? But since then, I'm learning to grow through what I'm walking through, because there is a lesson. There is a growth process. Again, it's the process of it.
Definitely is. It is the process. And so for me, and how I felt inspired, right, was one, I was diagnosed at 36. I'm a African-American female. I live in New York. I don't have a history of breast cancer in my family. So I educated myself, and then I'm also a healthcare professional. So I kind of am able to look at things from both lenses, right? I sit on both sides of the table. I use my journey to not only create an impact for myself, but also speak up for the voiceless, right? Because we all know that people of color have the highest rate of mortality in every type of illness out there because of lack of resources, lack of funding, lack of education, and lack of quality care, but also the healthcare disparities that are in place to kind of set us back. So me now being in a chair where I can speak to the game changers and also be the patient, I'm able to bridge that. So for me, one of the things that really inspired me was having a voice for women that look like me, right? So when I went to my doctor's appointments and my doctor would suggest certain things, and I would say, well, how does that look for a woman of my age? How would that be? How would this look for a woman of my ethnic background? You know, if my hair falls out and you give me a prescription for a wig, where am I supposed to get the wig that identifies a woman under 40? Because I don't want to look like an older woman in church. I want to look my age. How are you identifying and personalizing my journey to me? Because now I'm going to make you work. This is not a one-stop shop. You got breast cancer, you're black, this is what your story. No, you're going to have to personalize my journey for me. So now I'm going to make you work for me. I'm going to make you do your job because I have a voice. I'm not just taking what you say. I'm not just allowing my circumstance to be my story and be my death. No, I'm reclaiming my power. And by me reclaiming my power, I started to notice the shift of how, one, I was treated. I started to notice the shift that now I'm being asked, well, what suggestions do you have that you think that we can implement to create change for a patient that comes behind you? And now I'm sitting in rooms with the board members of how we're going to implement these changes on a broader scale. Just 2 weeks ago, I was sitting on a panel for Memorial Sloan Kettering as a breast cancer survivor with over 700 people on a virtual call. As a black young woman surviving breast cancer.
Wow.
You know, that in itself was so impactful. But the reality of it is, what people were extra impactful is that I just got diagnosed with my second form of breast cancer 2 days prior. And I got on that stage and on that Zoom call with so much confidence, but I was real. I was transparent. I let them know how I felt. I explained to them my impact on why I am so passionate. I spoke about my children because I want them to understand that I am a person first, that I am a mother. I am just not another patient. I am a person. I am a wife. I am a mother. I have a 15-year-old son and a 5-year-old daughter. I spoke about how that impacts them. I spoke about how my relationship with them and those conversations of, you know, why mommy has cancer, what that meant to them, how they took it, what I did to make sure that they emotionally and mentally are okay. You know, and these are things that we don't, these are the discussions that need to be had, because as individuals, just because you're diagnosed with anything doesn't mean that the world stops, that your life stops. You're still responsible for everything that you were responsible before you were told your diagnosis. But if you're not given the tools or the information or even given the support or resources, then you're lost. You feel helpless.
Right.
So I put that on the platform because I wanted them to understand that these were not resources that you guys were able to provide for me. These were resources that me being the individual that I am, I did the research and I found other places, I outsourced things, and I connected those things to my journey. And by doing that, I also spoke about those outsources so that now you know, okay, there's an organization, Shades of a Cure, that is in New York, based out of New York, that deals with communities of color. That's an organization that us as a big corporation can tap into. Living Beyond Breast Cancer, For the Breast of Us, these are all organizations that we can now connect with and collaborate with, because the reality of it is the numbers are not changing.
Mm-hmm.
But the work needs to be done. But if you don't hold people accountable, they're just going to continue to ignore you. If you don't open your mouth, speak for yourself, then they're just going to ignore you. And then me being the person that I am, I'm not waiting for you to let me sit at the table. I'm bringing my own chair with an attitude.
Right.
And that's part of the Warrior Project. Because I am unapologetically myself.
Right, right, right. And you have to be. And so, you know, you brought up one main thing. And when you are a healthcare professional like you and I, me being a nurse now for 35 years, it's different when you are a healthcare professional and you suddenly become the recipient of the healthcare, right? Because number one, we know a lot more than your average lay person who's not in the healthcare profession. But also, you know, you have the experience, the knowledge, and you of the healthcare system in general, to know how to maneuver through it, to advocate for yourself, and in turn, you can advocate for others. I am big on patient advocacy, always have been throughout my 35-year nursing career. And many people don't know how to advocate for themselves. And that's why God has you. He has me. Matter of fact, one of my, I'm developing a coaching program now to teach my clients how to advocate for themselves. What the questions they need to ask, you know, when they go to the doctor, you know, and things of this nature, because they don't know. A lot of people don't know. And so the other key thing you said is about research, right? And I'm going to be honest with you, Michelle. We're living in a time now, it's about 5 or 6 different generations, from my 91-year-old auntie to me, the baby boomer, to my kids' generation, and my grandkids' generation, about 5 or 6 generations. And so a lot of it is generational, because my auntie, who's 91, God bless her, she, whatever the doctors say or whatever they want to do, is word is bond. You understand what I'm saying? So we have to take that in consideration, too. I'm like you. I'm so glad that I'm able to go in and say, look, this is what's going on. This is me. This is my body. And me being the nurse for so long, I'm like, so what are we going to do? We doing this? We doing this? Or we doing that? And they looking at me like, and I never like for folks to know I'm a nurse, but the cat's already been out the bag. But but many people can't do that. They don't know how to advocate for themselves. And then the last thing, and I'm going to give you the mic, is that with the healthcare, with the disparities, the social disparities, the health disparities, and we know they've always existed in Black and brown communities, but COVID just brought it to the forefront in the media, right? But we know they exist. And so I would love for you to talk a little bit more about that, because you are really in the thick of it. I'm in it, but I think you're a little bit more in the thick of it, because right now I just, you know, just trying to wrap my head around some things right now. But yeah, what are the numbers, the latest numbers that you were seeing as far as breast cancer in African American and brown communities? Because it's up there.
So I don't know specifically detailed numbers, but I can just tell you that African American women have the highest rate of mortality, have the highest rate of death for breast cancer compared to Caucasian women. And this is not because they have a different type of cancer or they have the Black person breast cancer. It's because they are diagnosed at a later stage, because one, the conversation of genetics is not discussed. And part of it is our fault as a culture, because like you stated, your 91-year-old aunt, you know, whatever the doctor says, she goes with. Our elders oftentimes don't share with us our genetic background. We don't really find out that Aunt Ann and Uncle Jim, you know, had prostate cancer or had ovarian cancer or any type of illness until they passed away, because those things were not discussed. So it's very important for individuals of color to get, you know, when you start noticing things are different, or you have a high risk in your family for any type of illness, even hypertension or diabetes, you start asking for genetic testing. There are blood tests and you know, lab. There's blood testing. They have all types of testing that they can do to help early detection. Another thing, just, you know, knowing yourself. And when I mean knowing yourself, you know, I've had women come to me and say, you know, I had a lump in my breast and I felt some type of way, and my doctor told me, oh, it's fine, you're not of age, you know, it's probably just a, you know, you might have some swelling because of your menstrual, right? They're quick to discourage you. Oh, you're not of age yet to get a mammogram. You as an individual have that right to argue that and protest it. Doctors cannot tell you no. If there is a concern, the concern has to be addressed. Don't let anyone discourage you from what you feel, what you know to be true. That's one of the, you know, motivations for myself. My daughter is 5. Because of my diagnosis, my daughter has to start mammograms at 25. Best right. believe she's going to be armed and ready for it. Because at the end of the day, I promise myself, if one thing I don't do on this earth before I transition is that I will make sure that my children are prepared in my absence. And I think that is something that also as a culture, we really have to really pay attention to. We have to start having those conversations. You know, people are so fearful discussing death and preparing for it, right? That we have a tendency to wait to the very last minute, and then everything is all over the place. Although these things are hard to do, it is necessary.
Right. Then you're right. You're right.
To do an evaluation of your assets. This is necessary to make sure that your family respects your wishes and that you have finances in place to support that. And there's never a time that's not too early. Both my children have insurance, life insurance policy since birth. I'm not waiting right. to their adults to start doing that. And it's important that we as a culture also do that. I myself, my funeral was already planned out in advance. My will is in place, and I'm 38 years old. And it's not because, you know, cancer initiated that fire. But it's because I lost my dad in October during my journey. And unfortunately, my dad was not as organized as he portrayed himself to be. But what I learned from that experience is that when he got sick and he was in the hospital for 3 months, I met with a funeral director and started doing the work for him. And when he transitioned, it was so easy to just make a phone call. And his body was picked up in 2 hours, and it took a lot of the debt, of the weight of burden off myself.
Right.
So it is that we start really having those hard conversations. But when you, and once you realize you are able, once you break the wall, right, you start to notice the connection of bonding that really happens within the family, because people, the things you're scared to talk about is what's holding you back. And that's where it's necessary. You know, even for myself, like I said, I started the Fearless Warrior Project basically because I wanted to walk in my purpose, but I wanted to create a legacy for my children. It's very important that I do that. And by me doing that, I created an advocacy group to not only advocate for myself, but something that my children can see that mommy was resilient regardless of her circumstance. And
right.
I have an I use the acronym of warrior because W is for willpower. You have to acknowledge what your willpower is. What is your why?
Right.
And A is acknowledgement, your mindset. Be able to discuss grief. And grief does not always have to equal death.
That's
grief
right.
Grief can be the loss of something. So for me having breast cancer means I had to remove my breast. That is a loss. That is a loss for myself. I had to prepare myself for it. So how did I do that? I gave myself a bi breast party the night before my mastectomy, my first mastectomy, and I'm going to do another one next Tuesday before my next surgery. That was my way of processing my journey.
Right.
For resilience.
Right.
Reassurance. You have to, you know, you give yourself grace. Allow yourself to second guess yourself. Because at the end of the day, if you don't acknowledge your fears and your triggers, then you can't start releasing and healing. And the other are reconnect. Regain yourself. Find and adapt to your new normal. So just because your life drastically changed, right, and now you're going through this journey, you are still you. You might not be the same person you once before, but how do you now swag out your new you? For me, I had 15 rounds of aggressive chemotherapy. I lost my hair. My hair grew back in patches. I rock a mohawk, and I kill it. I wear different glasses. I wear glasses. I have about 50 pairs of eyeglasses, different colors, shapes, and sizes. Why? Because I am now critiquing my new fashion sense as a woman that went through cancer and went through cancer treatment. I'm not going to allow my circumstance to be who I am. I'm going to now swag it out and make it adapt to me.
Swag it out. I like that.
I am. Having affirmations for yourself on a daily basis. I am what? I am important. I am resilient. I am beautiful and I am confident. You have to speak positivity into yourself to ensure that you feel positive. Oh, always have an open mind. Always have an open mind. You know, be able to tell your story. And be resilient. Be resilient. And be fearless. Because at the end of the day, you have one life to live. And regardless of how your journey goes, make it be impactful. You know, a quick funny story, right? I had my last meeting with my plastic surgeon before surgery, right? And I said, you know, I'm about to go on my 8th surgery in the last 2 years. 8 surgeries. This is my 8th surgery coming up. And I said, you know what? I think I'm in tune. I should be rewarded a tummy tuck. And she looked at me and she goes, you know, a tummy tuck requires da da da. I said, I understand all that. I said, but I'm gonna tell you like this. If I'm coming to my last days, I want to look like an Instagram model. And she bust out laughing. Why? Because at the end of the day, I want to let her know that regardless of what's going on in my life, I'm still going to be who Michelle is. I just don't want to stomach at the end of it. So we're going to work out whatever we need to work out to make sure that happens. And you have to find some joy in your pain, you know. I joke around and I say, like, I love to be positive, but I'm realistic and I'm human and I'm always a person that wants to encourage, you know, even in those laughter, there's tears that come out. but it feels good. Yeah. Even if it feels good for a moment, it feels good. Because yeah. you go through a lot of stages of feeling bad.
Right. We have our, you know, you have your moments. Look.
Yes.
One moment. And I tell folks this all the time because, to be honest with you, those of us who are Christians, some of us are like, I'll be like, oh, my God, get seriously. You have faith and you believe it, but you have your moments. One moment you might be feeling joyous and happy, and then the next moment you're like, oh, God, get me through this, you know. Doesn't mean that you don't have faith and believe. It just means you're human. It's all it means is that you're human.
Yeah.
I mean, even Jesus had a moment in the garden when he was talking to the Father and said, Father, if it be thy will, take this cup from me, but not my will, your will be done. Even he had a moment.
Yep.
So, oh, come on. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, mm-mm. But let me ask you this. Now, I don't know if you know about my book, Spirit of a Warrior, where I told of my self-care journey through chemotherapy back in 2018 and 2019. And I define warrior. Now, this is warrior according to Jean Turner, okay? Nurse coach Jean Turner. Mm-hmm. But I wrote in my book, and this is my belief, and I even wrote it in my book in the prelude. Warriors are not born, they are bred. The spirit of a warrior resonates from inside out. It is a heart. It is the heart, the spirit of a person. A true warrior digs deep within their heart or their spirit for the strength to fight another day. It's not always easy. I'll be the first to say that no matter how resilient we think we are, there are times when the strong get weak and the weak get weary. Yes, at times we struggle, but we do not quit. We do not quit. You talked about willpower. And I said drawing on one's own personal strength and willpower isn't enough. This fight causes you to dig deep. And so, you know, in this day and age, I think that, and this is just my personal opinion, but everywhere you turn around now, you're hearing the word warrior. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of think it's used kind of loosely in a sense because we know what true warriorism is, if there is such a word as warriorism. Okay. And I know it means different things to different people. That's what it means to me, and especially being retired military soldier, true warrior fighter. Okay. What really does that word mean to you? What, how do you describe warrior? I heard your acronym, but if you don't mind, what are your thoughts about what I just read, that section from my book concerning a warrior?
So I'm a firm believer that you're correct. They're not born, they're bred. And I was born into this from a very young age. I come from five women. Up until about 5 years ago, my family was five generations of women. I was fortunate enough to be born. I was able to be raised with great-grandmothers. And when I mean my grandmothers were the truth, they were a wrecking to mess with. And they were about family and about unity. My grandmother, God rest her soul, Alice Duke, is from Virginia. And her my great-grandmother name was Brilla Wood. And my grandmother was the only child of two sisters. And my grandmother had 10 kids. And my grandmother, you walk in her house, you wouldn't even think a kid lived in her house. That's how clean her house was. My grandmother welcomed anybody to her house. She fed anyone. She loved hard, but she took no games. And she raised me to always walk with my head high, even during storms. And even, you know, my mom was around and I was raised by my mom, but when my grandmother got sick, I would literally be in the hospital every weekend with my grandmother 24/7 because we made sure it was she has 43 grandchildren. But, you know, sometimes family, just because you're family don't mean everybody should be part of your family. But the dedication to this woman, of the type of woman she was for me, it was an honor and a privilege. It was an honor and a privilege. My grandmother was she retired from the same hospital that she was in. And I was her advocate. When I mean that these people knew my first name down to the health care, that director of the patient rep department, they knew me. Because at the end of the day, I wanted to make sure that my grandmother was treated with dignity and respect. I made sure that she looked a certain way, that she didn't go neglected, because that wasn't the type of woman she was in the streets. My grandmother was dressed to the nines, sharper than a number two pencil. And I made sure that stay intact. So when I mean warrior, I think warriors are bred, but it also goes by your foundation. You know, I have a picture of when I was a child, around my daughter's age, and in that picture is four generations of women. All of us got it. No one is smiling. Everybody's game frame's ready. And I use that picture as inspiration for myself. Every single day I look at it. Why? Because as women, we go through a lot. As mothers, as wives, as, you know, just humans. You know, when I tell people what my story was for 2 years with me having cancer, aside from 15 rounds of aggressive chemotherapy, 7 surgeries, 4 of them being emergency surgeries. I also watched my father get sick and die in the hospital for 3 months, and I was at the hospital every day with him. I am now the caregiver of my uncle. He's a retired, he's a disabled veteran that's in a wheelchair that had a stroke 5 years ago. You know, I did all of this while also fighting for myself. And not because, you know, I'm just superwoman, but it was taught to me early that you take care of your foundation, and you always have your game face ready, because that was what I was around. That strength of empowerment. When I mean my grandmother filled up a whole Catholic church at her funeral, of just people just so happy to be inspired by her. Like, I live to be on her level. I live for it.
Amen. Wow. You know, that's very impactful what you just shared. You have a legacy from your grandmother, you know. And you know what? That's the type of legacy. You know, and I know money's important. Money answers all things. Mm-hmm. But a lot of what you just shared is really legacy. It is legacy. And so, you know, wow. I'm just, you know, I thank God for you and your testimony and, you know, the impact that you are having on the lives of many, and just for being the advocate, the patient advocate that you are. And so we got about 3 more minutes left. Go ahead and just share your website with the people, contact information, how they can reach out to you to learn more about the Fearless Warrior Project.
Okay, so I can be found on Facebook as I have the Fearless Warrior Project LLC is my Facebook page. My personal Facebook is Michelle Anderson -Benjamin. My Instagram is Fearless Warrior Project LLC. My website is fearlesswarriorprojectllc.com, and I can be reached by email at info@fearlesswarriorprojectllc.com.
Amen. As you are listening, audience, you know, our guests brought up a lot of great points. I pray that something shared on this week's episode is very helpful and encouraging. And, you know, I've mentioned this so many times in the past, and it's something that you said, Michelle, that in so many words, but we have got to know our family history. If we don't know, we need to begin asking questions of our relatives who have come before us. We need to start asking questions. Do we have a history of this in our family? Do we have a history of that in our family? And, yes, you must be your own patient advocate. Do not be afraid to ask your medical team questions. Do not be afraid to challenge them if something don't sound right to you, okay? It is your right as the patient to ask questions to get honest, truthful answers and to be included in your health plan, okay? Person-centered care is what I call it as a board-certified holistic nurse. Person-centered care, we hear patient-centered care. I'm going to break it down even more to person-centered care because no two people are alike. And so with that said, I want to say thank you so much again, Michelle, for taking time out of your schedule to join me here in the chat room for this week's episode of Health Chat with Coach Jean. I love you, queen. You are a queen indeed. And I just thank you. Thank God for your testimony. And look, you are always in my prayers. And look, we're going to keep on keeping on in Jesus' name. And so, love you much, queen. Thank you so much.
Thank you again, and it was an honor.
Amen, and we got to do this again sometime.
Yes.
Because there's so much more to talk about on this, Ty. So much more. So much more that we can cover. So, yes, you are welcome back anytime to join me here in the chat room. And a very special thanks to my producer, the Batman of Charm City himself, none other than Mr. Jerry Royce Live. And to you, our listening audience, from wherever you are live streaming from around the world, thank you so much for tuning in. And until next time, if God says the same, peace and health. Deuces.
Thank you for joining us for another episode here in the chat room. Health Chat with Coach Jean, that is. Until next time, if God says the same, I pray peace, health, love, and well-being for you and your family. God bless you.
You're listening to Jewel Slide Worldwide Podcast.